Good morning, Doctor. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, for those who don't know, could you tell us about this HIV prevention medication PrEP and how it works?
So we call it biomedical HIV prevention. Up until very recently, condoms were the mainstay of HIV prevention, and we knew that it was difficult to get a large population of people to use condoms on every single occasion. But now we've got two strategies that involve medicine. One is PrEP, where a person who might be at risk of HIV takes a tablet every day. It works a bit like the contraceptive pill, and it means that they won't get infected with HIV. The other part of the strategy is a person who's already HIV positive takes a tablet every day, and that benefits their own health. And it also means that they can't transmit HIV to another person. So those three strategies together, PrEP, treatment as prevention, and condoms, we feel that are going to be so effective when applied across the population that we have the potential to actually prevent all new HIV infections in Australia. And if we play our cards right, Australia may be one of the first countries in the world that's able to do that.
Yeah, it definitely sounds very promising. But if you are living in Australia and you don't have access to Medicare, how can you obtain PrEP or even the treatment if you have been diagnosed with HIV?
Well, it's complicated. So firstly, you need to find a doctor who can give you treatment or might be able to help you navigate this. You might be able to import it from overseas. You might find a doctor, if you're HIV positive, at a sexual health clinic that has a relationship with a drug company that may be able to supply it to you free of charge. The point that I've been making is that this is a bit complicated. We don't know whether everybody can access it or not. It's doable. But often people, when they're visiting Australia, you know, their world's turned upside down a little bit. They haven't got such good connections they had back at home. So we're not sure how many people will and won't actually go through these complicated workarounds. And they're also expensive. We know that a lot of visitors to Australia, students, working holiday makers, short-term workers often don't have a lot of spare cash and therefore may not be able to afford these sorts of interventions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess sometimes there's a bit of a language barrier as well, so they might not even
exactly
know
right
where to begin in order to get these help to get the treatment.
Yeah.
Now, you conducted research comparing HIV infection with gay men newly arrived in Australia from Asian countries of origin to men already living in Australia. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found?
So a large sexual health centre, we looked at men who have sex with men who had been in Australia less than 4 years and were born in a southern, eastern or southeast Asian country. And we compared them to their peers who'd been in Australia more than 4 years or had been born in Australia. And we controlled for number of sexual partners, other sexually transmitted diseases, this sort of thing. And we find that this group were four times as likely to be diagnosed with very recent HIV infection. And by very recent HIV infection, what I mean is infection that they acquired after they got to Australia. So these guys are coming to Australia HIV negative, and within their first couple of years have this really massively increased risk of becoming HIV positive. And this is despite, as a population, they had less sexual partners, they had more condom use, and they had very regular visiting for testing. So it's a group of population that actually on paper looked like they were at low risk, but in fact were at much increased risk compared to everybody else.
Yeah, well, that's actually quite surprising. I guess you would have definitely found, the reasons why these are happening, but it's definitely a surprising, I guess, result from that research.
Well, part of it is, I guess part of it doesn't sound like a good news story. Really, the reason why this new emerging inequality has come is that new HIV infections in this other group have been going down. So as they go down, as people that have got Medicare cards, that speak good English, that know where to find good services, that have trusting relationships with sexual health providers, as they get on PrEP, or they get diagnosed with HIV early and get on treatment and have an undetectable viral load, as this effect is so effective in the general gay and bisexual male population, this group who don't know about that or can't access it or don't access it remain at increased risk.
Yeah, I guess when all those factors come into it, it does seem to make a little bit more sense as to why it's happening. Now, Australia grants over 1.5 million visas a year, which of many students who bring in a whopping $30 billion to the Australian economy every year. However, we're not providing for their health. So can you tell us why it is in both our interests in order to provide for the people and their health living in Australia on temporary visas?
So people, when they come in on temporary visas, are legally required to take out private health insurance. Unlike Medicare, which is this sort of one-size-fits-all, everybody gets the same level, these private health insurance policies really vary in their cover, and it's quite complicated. On the whole, they don't cover PrEP. And on the whole, they don't cover HIV treatment. Or if they do, people don't access it for that services. So that leaves them exposed in terms of HIV risk. And I think there's several reasons why this is important. Firstly, it might be the obvious one, to leave a person, just sort of a humanitarian reason, that wanted to protect another human being from this terrible thing that might happen to them, or if they're HIV positive, to get them onto treatment that will help protect their health. A lot of these people, they will go back to countries in which the services and protection from stigma and discrimination is not as good as we take for granted in Australia. So they might have a bumpy road ahead of them in their home country. That, I'd say, is the first reason. The second reason is an economic one. This $30 billion is very important to Australia. You know, it's not quite as high as iron ore in terms of foreign income, but it's higher than wool, say. So this is a major Australian industry. And one of the reasons why people like to study in Australia is because they think it's safe. Now, if Australia gets a reputation as not being safe, and people start worrying about what happens to their children or their brothers or sisters if they come to Australia, then maybe that $30 billion will be affected. So just cold, hard economic sense. We need to look after people when they come if we want them to continue to come. And the third one is what I started off talking about, is that we want to eliminate HIV from the Australian population. And when it comes to, you know, a virus circulating in a population, it doesn't know whose visa status is what. It makes no public health sense to prevent it only in a segment of the population. So if we let another segment of the population, those without Medicare cards, say, if we leave them unprotected, then actually there will be less protection overall. It's the same thing that happens in vaccinations. We call it herd immunity. If you get more than 90 or 95% of the population vaccinated, then everybody benefits. But if it drops below a certain threshold, then it may be 80% or it might be 75%, then everybody is at increased risk when there's more infections flowing around the community.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I guess having that massive economic reason would definitely, unfortunately, would be a big push for some people to go, oh, okay, maybe we should do it this way. Instead of just going, the general health of the population is definitely the most forefronting issue. But I guess money definitely speaks volume when it's that big as well. I guess in your professional opinion as well, do you believe that it is possible for Australia to virtually eliminate HIV? And what steps would we need to be taken apart from giving access to the rest of the population?
So one of the steps is to take it's a whole of population approach. You know, and some countries have done this. In the UK, they've taken the whole of population approach. So that means they're preventing HIV in the population who are in the UK. And I think Australia, if we want to eliminate HIV from the Australian population, we need to look at the population of people in Australia. Now, this may not include tourists who've been here for a week or something, but if somebody comes to study for here for 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, or comes on a four-year work permit or something, for all intents and purposes, they're part of the Australian population. So we need to get good coverage of all these HIV treatment and prevention measures across that whole of population before we can start getting effective HIV elimination. Now, we do that with some other conditions. So tuberculosis, for example, we specifically, if we think a doctor or a patient thinks that they might have tuberculosis, they can get free treatment. We really don't want the people to be withheld treatment because they don't have a Medicare card. So I think it's going to change. It's a slightly different change of mindset where we think actually preventing every case of HIV is going to be important. In some cases, that may be some additional expenditure out of the public purse, but the savings to the community will be greater than that in the future, that the cost benefit will be there.
Yeah, the benefits will be extremely, very important to the overall well-being of our whole nation, let alone the countries around us as well, would be very, I would assume, be positively impacted by that as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, Doctor. It's been a pleasure getting your insights into the issue, and hopefully we can get on top of the issue and change this announcement in order to include people that are on a visa or traveling through Australia for extended amount of time. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.